I'd like for us to go back to the book of Colossians tonight, and we're going to notice the other half of chapter 1. It's a totally different message, dealing with a completely different theme. Colossians chapter 1. And in a few minutes, we'll begin reading. I'll give you the verse number where we will start. Debbie and I have only been with you one service. That was this morning. We got in last night, 8:30, something like that. We've certainly enjoyed fellowshipping with you, enjoyed the meal with the preacher and Sister Eve. And I think, it's just my opinion, it's what it looks like from me, hope I get an amen, I think God's doing some special things here. There is in your midst a sweet spirit. Seems like an eagerness to hear and to learn the Word of God. And I'm going to take a real good amen here. You got a mighty precious pastor. I have no doubt the match is right. The right man, the right congregation. And I'll just let you know there are good things ahead to the glory of God. That may be, I got to thinking about it this afternoon, got to pondering it, got to praying about it a little, got to studying. That may be why God has laid the verses on my heart that He has tonight. This is not a stock evangelist sermon. It's from my heart, I hope, to yours. Colossians chapter 1. In fact, this passage almost answers this question. Listen to it. Why do we go to church? Why do we go to church? Another way, what are we doing here tonight? What's our purpose? A lot of answers to that. You could say, I'm just here out of habit. It's the right thing to do. And I'll holler amen to that. It is the right thing to do. But there's a better reason than just habit tonight. Why are we here? And I really believe the paragraph we're going to study helps answer that question. By the way, you'll never grow in grace unless you are in church. I was hoping for a little better amen right there. You'll never grow in grace unless you're in church faithfully, regularly, consistent. I need to get to my text, verse 23, Colossians 1:23. And usually, in fact, might even be the best way to do it, usually I read the entire text totally and then go back and say some things about it. Preacher, tonight we're just going to take it a verse at a time. I'm going to read the verse and we're going to talk about it. Now I'll read the next verse and we'll talk about that. And we'll work our way through this last section of Colossians chapter 1. And it's going to address why we go to church, what we're doing here, and what's necessary if God's going to accomplish His goals at Bible Way Baptist Church, Kingsport. If God's going to do something here, hope you'll amen it, I sure want to be in on it. And I want to be a part of it. I need to read verse number 23. If, it's a strange way to start a text, if, it's a conditional statement, if you continue in the faith, if you continue in the faith, the verb that is used there for continue, the Greek word is meno. It means if you remain in the faith. Now I got to make a doctrinal statement here. Pretty sure I'll get some help. If you're saved, if you're really washed in the blood, ain't no way you can really get out of the faith. That's that old Baptist, but more than that, Bible doctrine, eternal security. Preservation of the saints. I believe when I got saved, I got born again, I got put in His family, my name got written down in heaven, and ain't a thing the devil can do about it. So, Paul's not talking about if you continue in the faith, in the sense if you continue to be saved. No, 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 that's not it. If you are saved, you will continue to be saved. That's what I've been saying for 2 minutes. What does he mean if you continue in the faith? This is what he means. Meno, to remain. It means I get in the church. I put my plow down deep. I determine I'm going to be consistent and faithful. Getting your name in right here now. And I ain't going to be a quitter. I'm not going to, if you continue in the faith. Tell you what, and I'm speaking for myself, though I know there are people who agree with me. I want to end up like I started out, an old-fashioned Bible-believing fundamentalist. If you continue in the... But wait a minute. Paul's got... Hey! Bible Way Baptist Church is, but can increasingly become a great church if you'll stick with it, if you'll stand by, if you'll not sell out, if you'll not compromise. I'll use an Old Testament expression, help me, if you'll stay with the stuff. Hallelujah. If you continue in the faith, watch. I'm still here in this 23rd verse, grounded and settled. Grounded and settled. Paul wants, it's in Ephesians, speaks about Christians who are blown about with every wind of doctrine. Some new doctrinal fad and they'll blow this way. Somebody disagrees and they'll blow this way. He's talking about some folks that are going to continue in the faith and be grounded and settled. The word that he uses there for grounded, it's a Greek word that literally gives us our word for foundation. But you can see the sentence. Grounded foundation. Hope I get an amen. I'm glad we're hooked on the right foundation tonight. This church is not built on the pastor. This church is not built on your reputation. We are built on the chief cornerstone of this thing, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Grounded. None of us will ever amount to anything for God if the foundation's not right. I hear, in fact, I looked this afternoon, we talked about it at lunch, at the Latin Vulgate, the Latin translation of the Greek New Testament. And there for the word foundation, there for the word grounded, Jerome used the word fundamental. I just used it a minute ago. Some of my fundamental. What in the world does that mean? It means the fundamentals of the faith mean its basic ground rule, tenements, facets, and you will not budge. You will not budge on what you believe in those areas. Let me run two or three things by you. I believe a man can go to heaven, but I believe he can only go to heaven one way. By grace, through faith, in the shed blood of Jesus. I don't believe Muhammad can get me to heaven. I don't believe Allah can get me to heaven. I don't believe Buddha can get me to heaven. I don't believe Krishna can get me to heaven. I just believe Jesus can get me to heaven. I can't go on and on. We've run out of time. That's being grounded. Those are the fundamentals. That's one of them that we believe. He said, continue in the faith, being grounded and settled. Settled. I want to show you something. The word that is used there for settled literally means what I'm doing right here. Seated. Seated firm. Seated hard with determination. Here I sit. Hope I get an amen. And there ain't nothing gonna move me. I shall go on record tonight. I believe that old Bible that preacher's holding in his hand, I believe it's the Word of God. I believe it's inspired. I believe it's without error. Buddy, I'm sitting in that chair and I ain't moving. Grounded. Settled. Determined. In the faith. Watch verse 23. That ye be not moved away from the hope in the gospel. Don't you let anything. We are living in a day. A recent educator in the Midwest. This man is brilliant, but he's lost. He wrote a book. You can still get it in the bookstores called, quote, The End of Faith. That's what he named his book. The End of Faith. Here's what he says. He says churches like ours don't have long now to exist. He said, look around. He said, we're getting older and grayer. Some of the old timers already have passed on to heaven. And he said, there ain't as many young people coming along as there used to be. I'll take an amen here. He didn't see that crowd sitting right there. Hallelujah. The end of faith. He said, give it 30 more years. Said, you won't find any Bible-believing churches. Said, they'll all be dead in the cemetery, those people. And said, just mark it down. This thing's a thing of the past. Paul said, don't be moved from your hope in the faith. Amen. I'm going to go on record tonight. His name is Mr. Sam Harris. I believe he's wrong, and I believe God's right. I believe there'll be a church this year, next year, 30 years. It might not be thriving in America, but she'll be thriving somewhere. Hallelujah. God being my helper, somebody bear witness to this. I want to be planted. I want to be grounded. I want to be sitting strong. And I don't want to move from my faith tonight. Well, that's the idea with which Paul begins this text, this 23rd verse. He said, don't be moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you've heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. I've bitten off more than I can chew. I've got too many verses tonight. I can tell that already. But I've got to talk about that word preached. Paul said, and remember, and Colossians chapter 2, verse 1 proves it. Paul has never been to Colossae. He's writing to people who have not seen him to his face. Well, how'd they get saved? Answer me now. They got saved same way you got saved. Trusting the shed blood of Jesus. But Paul said, he's never been there, but he said, you have not moved from the gospel that was, from the hope of the gospel that was preached unto you. I just want to make a simple statement. And if you don't want amen, many of you are, but just smile at me or nod. Thank God for preachers. Let me run that by and I'll change it. Thank God for old-fashioned Holy Ghost preaching. He said somebody preached to you the gospel. Aren't you glad for the day you first begin to hear it? It's an old-fashioned man of God. Oh, it could have been a young there in God's house, opened that book, fed you the truth, and you got saved. The verb there for preaching, listen to it. It's keruso. And I want to mention this because there's another verb for preaching that comes up at the end of this thing, if we ever get there. Keruso, preaching. Here's why I go to church for one reason. Somebody bear witness. I go to church to hear the preaching. I go to church to hear the preaching of the Word of God. Keruso. Keruso, verb. Kerux, the noun. That which is prayed. What does it mean? And this man of God fulfills it beautifully. A kerux. One who carousos, preaches. The word means a herald. H-E-R-A-L-D. A herald, you'll smile when I tell you, a herald of the king. Kings didn't go anywhere, but they sent a forerunner ahead of them. Anybody agree? John the Baptist was a forerunner of Jesus. He was the herald. This is all the herald does. Y'all better get ready. The king is coming. You don't have to do nothing because I said it, but I represent the authority of the throne. He's going to come. You better get this mess straightened out. You better clean up all this garbage around here. King's coming, and you sure want him to be happy when he gets here. We preachers do not preach our own authority. We do not preach our own charge. I'm an introvert. I'd be scared to death tonight to stand up and tell you what to do. But I am representing the King. I'm letting you know He is coming back one of these days. I'm glad there are men who herald forth the Word of God. We'll have to. Let's go to verse 24. Verse 24. Who now? He ends verse 23. I, Paul, I made a minister. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you. Fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for His body's sake, which is the church. That's an obscure verse. It'd take 30 minutes to anywhere closely deal with it. But I just want you to know, Paul said, I'm willing to suffer. I'm willing to suffer for the church's sake. I want to ask this question. I don't think I've ever asked it before in a revival. What's your church worth to you? They're a dime a dozen to many people. If it don't work out here, I'll go on up the road. Been thinking about it anyway. There's a bigger church up here. They've got livelier singing. They got a little bit of entertainment thrown in with it. What's your church worth to you? And here's Paul's answer. It's worth a whole lot, and I'd be willing to suffer for it if need be. The word that is used there for suffer gives us paschal, as in the Passover. I told you this morning, Paul's in jail while he writes these words. He's locked up in a Roman prison. Why? It wasn't for passing bad checks. It wasn't for stealing something that wasn't his. He's in jail, I'll take an amen, y'all know it, because he was guilty of preaching the Word of God, preaching the gospel. He is suffering that churches like that one in Colossae can be saved, people saved, churches grow to the glory of God. I'm glad there's some preachers, help me, that won't run when the hard times come. Hallelujah. Oh, there's so much more that ought to be said there. Before Paul got saved, he was a chief persecutor of the church. Threw them in jail. Likely participated in the deaths of some of them, including Stephen. He watched it anyway. And he said, I caused them pain. I caused the church great suffering. Anybody here believe you'll reap what you sow? Oh, that was a weak amen. Anybody believe God is... Anybody believe what goes around comes around? Paul said, I will suffer for that church's sake because I have inflicted such suffering. And what church is he talking about? The church at Colossae, never seen them, but somehow they heard of Paul's preaching. Some soul winner, Paul, and went over there and got busy serving God. I just want to say something. I'll need an amen. He's talking about the local church. The what? The local church. Now, evangelist's not supposed to do what I'm about to get into. It's meddling a little bit. You need to find yourself a local church, someplace that's got a mailing address. Get inside the four walls of that building, fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Christ, and stay there and be faithful and be happy, and don't run your mouth and grumble and complain. Just praise your Savior and grow in grace. Y'all all right? Let's get the next verse. The next verse. Which would be, I think, 25. Yes. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given, now y'all watch this, to me for you to fulfill the Word of God. Then to go when I ask, why do we go to church? Somebody over in this area said to learn the Word. To hear the Word. To grow in the Word. That's what Paul's leading up to here. Look at it again. 25. I'm made a minister according to the dispensation of God. What in the world is a dispensation? The dispensation of that word dispensation gives us the English word economy. Economy. The rules by which God is governing His household. Dispensation. All right, now listen to me. We're just trying to brag about the church a minute, the local church. Debbie and I, just about every week, go by a place, smile when I tell you, called Walmart. Y'all ever heard of it? I expect y'all got one up here. Somebody say amen. Well, two. How'd that get into this sermon? Dispensation. Here's Walmart's marketing model. We'll buy as many of them as we can. We'll sell them cheap. We'll keep the product moving. And we won't make as much on each item. But we'll sell enough. We'll come out all right in the end. That's their marketing model. You can buy some things at Walmart cheaper than you can get them at the mall. Well, y'all got something against Walmart or what is it up here? But last Friday night, our meeting ended last week on Wednesday night. Deb and I were home, and we had to go for a specific reason up to the mall. And we walked in a store, went to the men's clothing department. There's a certain color tie we're looking for. We walked around a little bit. The salesmen were dressed to a T. I never seen anything like it in my life. We walked around where they have those ties laid out real pretty. And I do this, my wife will be embarrassed. I just picked one of them up and turned it over. You ain't gonna believe this. $85. 80, that's just for one, $85 for that tie. I laid it down and we backed out of the store. That particular store, I think its name was Dillard's. I don't even know if they have them in North Carolina and Virginia or not. They have got a different marketing model smile than Walmart. When you charge $85 for a tie, you can probably sell one a week and get by. Amen. My soul. Different marketing models. Dispensation. Is this making any sense to you? Here is God's dispensation. God's marketing model. He says, here's how I'm going to get my work done. He could send an angel and do everything he needed done in a day. He could exert his omnipotence and do it in 5 minutes. But this is what he said. He said, I'm going to start out saving a bunch of old hell-bound, lost, good-for-nothing sinners. I'm going to put them in old-fashioned, Bible-believing, local churches. I'm going to put some hollering, spitting, running around preacher up front. He'll open that Bible and teach us the Word of God, and we'll shout and we'll glorify God all the way home. Amen. Are y'all hearing me tonight? That's His dispensation. I'm glad I live in the dispensation of the church age. I'm glad I live in the dispensation of the grace of God. I need to get back to verse 25. Which is given to me for you to fulfill the Word of God. And if we don't get past this verse, it'll be all right. Paul said, God made me a minister. He made me a preacher. God gave me that dispensation to me for you. Two short prepositional phrases. To me for you. The bag will devil leave in the morning. We'll be heading back down the road, preaching again. I told you all about that this morning. And Tuesday night, the man of God will mount that pulpit. Next Sunday morning, and next Sunday night too. God's already leading him, already showing him, I'll take an amen, what he needs to preach next time he steps behind that sacred desk. That's our prayer. Feed the flock of God which is among you. Watch the way it goes. From God to Him. Get ready now. To us. God gave it to me for you. Sitting in the room over there this afternoon, had something on my heart, but it was bigger than I'd ever get in tonight. And I thought, Lord, what in the world am I going to do? Ran out to the car and got my little notebook and nothing in it would work. And it's just like the Holy Ghost breezed through your prophet's chamber over there. He said, we'll be back in Colossians 1 tonight. And I thought, that's news to me. I reminded him I didn't have no sermon out of Colossians 1. He said he could take care of it. He gave it to me. He gave it to me. Get an amen ready. For you. For you. That's the way God works. Why do we honor the man of God? Why do we pray for the man of God? God will give him the message. God will give him the bread. God will give him the meat. God will give him the sweetness of the honey. He'll come spread a table and feed us all. Hallelujah. Amen. To me, for you, to fulfill the Word of God. To fulfill the Word of God. I can't hardly wait to tell them about this. That word fulfill It means like you got an empty glass. You start pouring with a pitcher. The water's a quarter of the way up, halfway, three quarters. You hadn't fulfilled it yet. All the way to the brim. And then when it starts spilling over a little bit, it is fulfilled. Filled to the fulfill the Word of God. Now I hit a snag there. I thought, how can something fulfill the Word of God? I'm going to make an announcement. Now I need two or three amens. That book, it ain't empty. It ain't half empty. It's not 99. It's already so full. Everything God wants, that book's already been fulfilled. Then that left me with a worse, or made a worse problem for myself. Well, if it's not the book that's being fulfilled, who is it? The book's full. I find myself way too often half full, a third full. That man of God's to go in that pulpit, help me, and preach me slap full, all the way full, running over full of the Word of God. Do y'all see that? Fulfilling in our lives the Word of God. I didn't come down here tonight to hear a bunch of stories and a bunch of jokes. I didn't come down here tonight to get entertained, to have my feet tickled or my back scratched. I came to hear the Word. Fill us full of the Word. That's another reason to go to church. Some man of God will give me the book. Some Sunday school teacher will give. Can they get it on my own? You sure can. The Holy Ghost is a teacher. But it's best, it's lovely, it's delicious in a group context down at His house. I like CDs and recordings. Deb and I send one out every month to folks that pray for us regularly. But I'm telling you, ain't never been a CD yet that was like being there. In God's house. Verse 26. 26. And I'll just tell you right now, and it's probably not going to happen. I wanted to get to 29. Not doing real good on that. I'm watching the clock too. Verse 26. Even this dispensation, the church, even the mystery which had been hid from ages and generations, but now is made manifest to His saints. Well, there's a lot there to preach. To His what? To His saints. I wonder what that means. The word, listen, it's hagios. Saints, what in the world is it? The word saints means this. Something that was once here, and the Holy Ghost grabbed it and put it down, I'll need an amen, over here. All right, I didn't do a good job of that. I ain't where I used to be. I've been saved by the Holy Ghost of God, sanctified. That gives us the word saints. He took me. He separated me. He made me different. He consecrated me. And now I'm over here unlike anything I used to be. To the saints. They're the ones that'll see it. See what? For the Bible? Well, there it is. The mystery, 26. Which hath been hid from ages and generations. Watch me. I have to get out my handkerchief. The word hid means covered or veil. It gives us the word in Revelation. Apocalypse means to unveil, hidden, cover. There is something that has been hidden for ages and generations. And Paul said all of a sudden, God Almighty's come on the scene and manifested it, revealed it. I'd like to know what it is. I'm going to tell you. I'm going to show you. If you'll holler amen, it'll make this sermon 5 minutes shorter. If you don't holler amen, that's all right. I don't mind the preaching. I'm rather enjoying it. What is it that was hid, covered, and God, in the days of Paul and hereafter, has made it known? I'll tell you what it is. It's the old-fashioned New Testament church. Hallelujah. The what? The church. The New Testament church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you, Moses didn't know about the church. Elijah never preached about the church. As great a man of God as Zechariah and Malachi, they didn't. God's dealing with Israel. The church is covered up. But then one day the Son of God came, lived sinlessly, died vicariously, arose victoriously, and through His shed blood, thank God, I need that amen again, we now got the church. Amen. Thank God for the church, how we ought to love the church, how we ought to appreciate the church. I'm so glad I'm part of the church tonight. I don't know if I'll say this or not. The country club can't match it. The Lions Club don't know nothing about it. And if I knew some other clubs, I'd mention them too. Thank God I'm in God's club tonight. The body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are y'all okay? We better go to 27. To whom God would make known the riches of the glory of this mystery, even among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's the church. Already told you 3 times. But here, he calls it a mystery. See that word? The Greek is mysterion. We just borrow it almost letter for letter. Mystery. What does that word mystery mean? It goes back to early Greek culture, and here's what it means. I'm going to tell you, and I need 3 smiles. It means a secret. Growing up, we did this like, I know a secret. If I knew a secret, I'd just tantalize everybody and make them ask me. They'd wonder, and I wouldn't tell them a thing. I know a secret. I'd do that with my brothers and sisters. I was the oldest. I know a secret. Mom and Daddy done told me, and I just... God's greatest secret, hope we get an amen, is the New Testament church. You say, Brother Bagwell, if it's a secret, how'd you get in on it? Somebody come up to me one day and whispered it in my ear. That'd be God the Holy Ghost. That'd be when I got under conviction. Aren't you glad God revealed the mystery to you? The church, the mystery, which is, listen to it, Christ in you, the hope of glory. The church is not merely a building with walls and a roof and carpet and pews and paths. No, 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 no. Here's the church. I'm going to say it again. Just said it, just a little different context. Christ living in you. Ladies and gentlemen, God perish the thought. Should the church burn next Friday morning, nothing less but ashes, the church would still be all right. You say, well, I'd sure like to know what we'd do. You go there in the fellowship building, you could gather around them tables or set you up some metal chairs, and I'm telling you something, the church would still be able to meet. Hallelujah. It's not in concrete. It's not in sheetrock. It is Jesus living in us. Amen. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I got to ask this, and then I got two verses to go. The light reflects on that clock. I can't tell what time it is. And now I'm sorry I looked, if y'all know thine is true. Been preaching 40 minutes. I just can't believe it. I don't know where time goes when you're trying to declare the Word of God. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Preacher, I don't want to get nobody in trouble here. Does anybody in this building really believe Jesus Christ is living in you? I had a man insinuate to me one day, he said, that is the height of conceit. He said, who in the world do you think you are to say Jesus is living in you? I'm an old ex-sinner. All that happened, got under conviction, believed in Jesus, He saved my soul and moved in. Hallelujah. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let me say this. I've got to get to my next verse. I not only think I'm going to heaven, I not only hope I'm going to heaven, I know I'm going to heaven. Now I can hear it now. That is conceit right there. How do you know you're going to heaven? Because when I was a six-year-old little boy in Miss Hughes' Sunday school class and asked Jesus to save me, heaven moved into my heart. I need a better amen. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Preacher, Fanny Crosby wrote it, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Listen, oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I'm already enjoying heaven. Heaven's already flooded my soul. Christ in me, that's my hope of glory. And if you're of like mind and it just looks to me like you are, something's doing somersaults down in you right now too. Verse number 28. Oh, I see a word. I shouldn't have looked back. Gentiles. Anybody here believe God can save Gentiles? Oh, how the Jews despised the Gentile. A practicing Jewish believer in Moses, I realize, he'd get up every morning and he'd pray this prayer. Lord, I thank you that I was not born, the men would pray it, a woman. And Lord, I thank you. In fact, the prayer's quite involved. Here's always the way they close it. I thank you I wasn't born a filthy Gentile dog. That's what they called us. Dogs. Filthy. The off-scouring of the earth. The dishwater that goes down the drain. Too filthy to be used. And that's what they thought of us Gentiles. Sure, I'm glad God didn't think that about me. Glad I got a Savior. Preacher, I'm going to enjoy saying this. You don't get many amens everywhere anymore. Glad I got a Savior who died for everybody. Glad I got a Savior who died for whosoever will. Including us low down,
good for nothing, backwoods, ignorant Gentiles. Amen, amen, amen.
Verse 28. Whom we preach.
Oh, that word preach, listen to it. It's not keruso, that's earlier. Euangelizo. Euangelizo. What in the world does that mean? Gives us the word evangelism. Euangelizo. What does it mean? Here's what this kind of preaching means. Smile, please. To tell somebody the good news. The word for gospel is the word good news. Can I say this? It's the best news I ever heard. Can I get another amen? It's the best news I ever heard. How about y'all? Whom we preach, Jesus Christ in you. Whom we preach. Now, preacher, and you know this. This verse is a manual on pastoral theology. Whom we preach, look at it, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom. I got to deal with two participles here. Warning every man and teaching every man. I don't know how this is going to go over. Would it be all right if he gets in that pulpit occasionally and warns y'all about some things? Would it be all right if he cautions us, if he labels the wolf that's trying to approach the flock? Thank God for preachers who still believe in warning. The word there for warning means this, to put it in their minds. Euthetic counseling has become popular in these days. Remind them again and again and again. Tell it to us over and over and over. We ought to always leave church having been reminded, having been warned, help me, with new truth for our lives. If there's a crowd on television preaching the health and wealth gospel, if there's a crowd on television not staying true to the blood atonement, why don't we just call them out and warn people about it? Don't know how that went over. Warning every man and teaching every man. I'm trying to hurry to get through here. Teaching every man. Reckon it'd be all right if the preacher taught every now and then. Well, that was mild. You've been with me so far. I don't know. We'll try it. I think teaching might be part of the whole pastoral ministry, to tell you the truth. In Ephesians chapter 4, when Paul tells about the gifts the Lord Jesus gave to His church, yes, they're evangelists. Yes, they're prophets. They were apostles. But in one category, pastors and teachers. Pastors and teachers. Y'all are drying up on me. I got to put this by you. I hope I get a little bit of witness right here. Thank God for men who'll not only warn me, not only preach me the truth, but who'll teach me the Word of God in the process. Always be a Bible-centered, Bible-preaching, and yes, Bible-teaching church. Hallelujah. I believe in Sunday school. Do y'all believe in Sunday school? Teaching them. I'll warn them. I'll teach them in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. I may have to quit here. I'm watching it. I might can squeeze the other verse in. Either way, here's Paul's goal. I'm going to warn them. I'm going to teach them. And my desire, Come here, son. Would you help me a minute? Yeah. I want you to stand right by the preacher, if you will. Yeah. I got a big one, didn't I, man? He's taller than I thought he was. I ain't going to give him no trouble, amen, I'll tell you that. Paul said, I'm preaching, I'm teaching, God's revealed the church because I want to present every man. He's our example. Church member, believer in Christ. Every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Let me show you the word perfect. Listen to it. Teleos. Teleos. The simplified form is telos. What does it mean? Watch, Brother Bagwell. I'm drawing a line in your pretty red carpet just with my fingernail. That line, to the Greek mind, that's the teleos. What does it mean? The finish line. The line where I finally get where Jesus wants me to be. The line of grown-up maturity. The line where I've reached the fullness of the measure of the stature of our Savior. The line where I have been conformed to the image of the darling Son of God. And that preacher's goal for everybody in this house. He wants to take you, lead you, preach you, encourage you. We're going to the line. Guide you. Because if he ain't minded to, ain't no way I'm going to get him there. I'll tell you that. I hear that. Never understand. He wants to, through the Word of God, get every one of us and take us to the place, I'll take a good amen, of maturity in our Savior. Thank you, son. Y'all get it? Why am I in church? To be filled full of the Word of God, to enjoy fellowship with the greatest mystery of the ages, and to let that man of God take the book and help me grow up in Jesus. Last verse and we'll be through. By the way, I'm going to ask you a question. Ain't you glad I'm not preaching Psalm 119 tonight? My wife said amen. I heard that all the way over here. Whereunto I labor. Paul said, this is what I'm laboring for. I want to present everybody on the finish line. That word labor, it is the most intensive word for work in the New Testament. It means to work your fingers to the bones. It means to labor to the point you're absolutely exhausted. You hear me? Some of you will say, amen, that preaching, pastoring business, that's hard work sometimes. I labor. The burdens, the intensity, giving it all you got, praying for your people, getting those that are not faithful, trying to bring them into the fold and guide them to maturity. It's labor. But Paul says, I love them. Want to be a good shepherd to the flock. I'll work to help them get where God wants them to be. Whereunto I also labor. I'm at the last verse, 29. Striving according to His working. See that word striving? The ing says it's a verb, but it's a present participle. It gives us the word agonize. It is their word for a wrestler in the Olympic Games wrestling his opponent on the mat. He tries to preach to the church and love the church, help the church grow. There's somebody that don't want the church to grow. That's the devil. That's Satan. That's Lucifer. And the man of God, occasionally, I'll need an amen, have to wrestle that rascal to the ground. There's some wrestling in the life of a church that they may grow. Whereunto I labor. striving according to His workings. Preacher, His workings, which worketh in me mightily. Let me look at it. 54 minutes I've been preaching. And I'm going to tell you something, just to be honest. About halfway through, I got a little tired. I was wishing I'd had me another vegetable at lunch, preacher. I got some good news. And then again, it might not be good news. Something has happened. Maybe I should go another hour if you'll know the truth. Not going to, of course. According to His working. It's the word energize. According to His energizing. Which worketh in me mightily. Serving God, it's work. I'll need an amen. But He'll help you do it. I was hoping for a little better, amen. I'm not trying to be unkind. I said it's work, but He'll help you get her done. He'll energize us for the task at hand. I got enough sense to know y'all could stay home tonight. Getting dark earlier. Holiday time. It ain't no Honolulu holiday out there somewhere. It's cold up here. And yet you said, I'm going out. It'll be dark when I get home. Ain't had no supper yet. Don't know who's going to win the ball game. But I love my Lord. I'm going to go to His house. I'm right tired. But by the time I get home, I wouldn't be surprised. Good amen. I wouldn't be surprised. He will have re-energized me anyhow. Amen. That's why we go to church. Tell you what, hope I get an amen. I just want to get in on it. There's just something in here that keeps drawing me that way. I'm going to close like I started. You amened it back then. I reckon you will now. God's doing some special things here. And I think I got this on pretty good authority. God wants to keep on blessing Bible Way Baptist Church. And with the man of God and the people of God filling us full of the Word of God, the Lord being the energizer of the whole process, I expect a year from now, 2 years from now, if the Lord hadn't come back, ain't no telling what He might do on this hill right here. As God's people eagerly serve Him in one mind and one accord.